Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain. Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. Today's episode is all about Micah's recent hospital stay, because there were a lot of questions that came in from many, many people when I talked about this a little bit on Instagram. And so we wanted to share the whole story, mostly because I think it's helpful for other parents to hear and kind of know what signs to look for and things. We learned a lot through this situation that we did not know. And just, I find it really valuable to listen to other stories so that can help me to parent better when my child is sick, and just hopefully to encourage you and to give you some ideas and thoughts of what we learned through the process. But before we get to that, Jesse, have you been reading any books recently? I realized the last few episodes, I have not asked you this question. I'm putting you on the spot.
Yes, I am still reading the one that I started at the beginning of the year.
That we've already talked about on the podcast.
Yeah, The Three Felonies a Day.
Okay, and you're still enjoying it?
Yeah, it's just slow reading. It's pretty dense.
You know, I think I pick books that are, well, I was going to say easier to read, although the books that I am going to talk about today is not necessarily would qualify as easier to read, but I think you just pick these books that you cannot just kind of whiz through them unless they are a Jack Carr novel or something like that.
The fiction books, yes.
But otherwise, the book that I was going to talk about is I Want God. This is by Lisa Whittle. And I just finished it, I think about a week ago. It was really fantastic. However, do not read the book if you do not want to get your toes stepped all over. It was very convicting. And just talking about how so often we put our earthly comforts, our pursuit of approval, of accolades from other people, of wanting security, of just kind of a stable, risk-free life, we put that ahead of really seeking after God. And what is God asking of us that might feel scary? It might feel really full of hardship. And it's so easy to want to just kind of bubble wrap ourselves from, protect ourselves from hardship. And this book just really, really convicted me and was so encouraging. There was a quote that I shared on Instagram that was one of my favorite quotes from the book. It says, "We will have times in our lives when we need God to renew us. This is not a shameful thing to admit. It is a powerful, life-changing thing to acknowledge and ask God to change in us. The only person who will never get better is the one who never asks God for help." And I just saw that last sentence, the only person who will never get better is the one who never asks God for help. And it's so like our nature to try to do everything in our own strength. And then we end up so stressed and burdened and overwhelmed, and God's just waiting for us to ask him to help us. And we don't need to do this life in our own strength. And so this book was just really convicting to me. I would highly recommend it if you want to get your toes stepped on and you want to be encouraged to really seek hard after God. Okay, hard right turn, but this is still about books. So last episode, we talked about reading Farmer Boy, and I got quite a few responses from people. And we talked about how much food they ate in the book. Do you remember that, Jesse? Mm-hmm. And this one was from Lee. She said, "I was listening to your most recent podcast and you were talking about how much they ate in Farmer Boy. I went to college with a brother and sister who grew up on a dairy farm. I spent many weekends at their farm. There was also a younger brother as well as a mom and dad at home. She absolutely cooked three huge meals a day, as well as there were always plenty of leftovers and snacks. They worked hard and they were all fit and strong, no extra weight. The son that I went to college with really struggled when he was first in college because he still ate like he was on the farm, but wasn't working like he worked on the farm." So a lot of people writing in just talking about that and talking about, yeah, like if you work on a farm, you got to eat a lot of food. And I think we just don't, you know, unless someone is like an Olympic swimmer or some CrossFit athlete or somebody who's spending hours and hours and hours a day working out, we just mostly don't have jobs that require that many calories. I mean, I think, what was it, Michael Phelps? How many calories did he have to consume a day? And you think it was a crazy amount. And you think of, okay, if you're working super hard all day long and doing this manual labor, yeah, you probably would need to eat a lot of food. But it is, it's just, food is such a theme in the Farmer Boy book. And every night as I'm reading it to the kids, I'm just like, wow. Like, how did that mom cook all that food? I feel like all you would do. And then I think of, they didn't have air conditioning. Like in the winter, it'd be real nice to be cooking food in a warm kitchen. But
well, a lot of times they cooked it outside
too. In the summer, that would not be fun to be cooking all of that food. And they're always talking about baking and everything, but it's fascinating.
So you had asked if I was reading a book. I have taken a little bit of a hiatus. I think you noticed from physically reading, and was listening to a number of books here probably over the last 2 months, 3 months. And I got into listening to John Grisham novels, specifically the one series, the Jake Brigant series. This was the four that I had listened to. So those are pretty cool.
So you have been finishing books?
Yes. Not the one that I had started out at the beginning of the year, though.
That's okay.
Physically reading the book, though.
Okay, so I need to say, Jesse, are you consuming any books? Or I need to ask the question differently, because you're such an attorney. If I say, are you reading any books, you will only tell me about the books that you're actually physically reading. Whereas me, if you ask me, what are you reading? That encompasses all the things.
But you're not reading when you're listening.
We had this argument early on in the podcast, and many, many people agreed with me that audiobooks absolutely count.
Count as what?
As consuming a book.
As consuming, yes. As reading, no.
So like on my goals list for the year, I say finish 75 books.
The audiobooks work. That but is, you specifically said, are you reading any books?
I'm sorry. I will know for the future. What was it on the last episode? We said the hardest words to say. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Will you forgive me?
Wait, just a second. What were the other three words?
I was wrong.
That, no, the ones that logically follow from that statement.
I don't know.
No, it's not. I don't know.
Will you forgive me? Like what three words are you thinking of?
You were right.
Oh, no, I don't ever say that. I might say I was wrong.
But you'll never say you're right.
No. Those are three words. We did not include those words on the last episode.
I think we did.
Well, maybe you said it, but I don't recall that, because I talked about how these were very important words to say in a marriage, and I still agree. Yes, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? But the other bleep, we're right.
It's a bridge too far, huh?
No. Mm-mm.
Such an eight.
You're talking about Enneagram. So we had thought that last weekend I was going to be going to camp with my youth group girls. Once a year they have, it's called Camp No Boys Allowed. And my girls are seniors this year, so it's going to be the last Camp No Boys Allowed. And kind of prepped all for that. And then my friend Kate, who I think I've mentioned on the podcast before, she's 41 and never been married, hoping to be married for 20 years. And God answered so many prayers. And her wedding was also last weekend. And so it was a big weekend. And I was just so excited that it had all worked out. We had a dinner for the wedding on Friday night. And then I was going to leave that and go to camp and get there a little late. And then I was going to be at camp until Sunday morning and then leave camp early so that I could get ready to be at the wedding. We had it all planned out, but what's the verse about man?
Man devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps.
Yes. So my weekend was completely free in the sense of I hadn't planned to do anything, so I wasn't going to be home. Well, the weekend looked very different than what I envisioned. So Wednesday morning, Micah woke up at 4:15 a.m. throwing up. And it was the kind of situation where we quickly realized, oh, this is not just a, oh, maybe he ate something and his tummy's a little upset. No, no, no. He was just throwing up repeatedly and very quickly emptied out his entire stomach. And then he was dry heaving. And he honestly, he was the sweetest little boy. Like it broke your heart because he was, you could just tell he was miserable, but he would, didn't he still say thank you? Mm-hmm. And like, he was so sweet and he was just snuggled up next to me. I had throw up all over me. But that's just what you do as a mom. And so he ended up, like, we didn't have him eat or drink anything for a little while because we knew it was going to come straight up. So then finally, a number of hours later, we had him drink a little bit and he was able to keep a little bit down. And so then we waited some longer and then he kept more down. And so we honestly thought, okay, it was one of those 8-hour bugs or whatever that was really bad for 8 hours. And then, you know, which is, I mean, I feel like that's kind of typical. If you're going to have a stomach bug, it might be 4 to 6, maybe 8 hours where you're throwing up. And then by 24 hours, you're kind of better. So it was 12 hours later, I think it was around 4 p.m. in the afternoon, he started throwing up again and then could not keep anything down. And he had barely eaten anything. And we could just tell he was really miserable and really needed to be able to have something in his stomach. And so as it was getting closer to bedtime, we were just talking and I said, I think you need to call the nurse and maybe we can ask if they can give us some Zofran, which we've never, that I can recall, ever done with any of our kids.
I think we've had it prescribed. I don't think we've ever used it.
No, I think like after a surgery or something, maybe one of David's surgeries, they prescribed it for him. And maybe some other time when somebody was, I don't remember. I feel like we've had it at our house.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think
it was never actually used it. And I mean, I'm just the kind of person that I, you know, I'm so grateful for the medical community and all of that, but I tend to be a little bit more naturally minded. And so I'm not going to use medicine unless I feel like
it's absolutely necessary. Yes.
And in this situation, I just felt like he needs something. He's just not doing well. So you were able to get Zofran and we gave him one dose and then he slept kind of fitfully, but he slept that night and did not throw up. So we thought, okay, like we're good. We're in the clear. And so he ate barely anything the next day. So this was, would have been Thursday. He ate, I mean, we had a hard time getting him to eat or drink much, but he did eat and drink a little bit. And so we thought, oh, well, he's just recovering. Well, then Thursday afternoon, then the diarrhea started with a vengeance. And it was the kind of thing where I was just like, I don't know how much more his little body can take. I mean, he's already on the less than 4% on the weight charts and just a small little guy. And he had thrown up so much and hardly eaten or drank anything. And so we were, this was Thursday night. We were, was that Thursday night? I can't even keep track. Let's see. Yes. All day. Yes. So yes, that's right. So we were concerned, but felt like he was, you know, okay, he'd had a wet diaper, one wet, and we thought, he's not looking super, it's like his mouth didn't look super dry.
No, he didn't look super, look dehydrated at all.
And so he was able to, he didn't throw up that night during the night. And so the next morning he was still having diarrhea and then he threw up again some more. And so we called and the pediatrician and got in an appointment at like 9:15. And she looked at him and felt like he didn't seem dehydrated, but was concerned because he was having so few wet diapers. And that was the big concern. And so she said he needs to have another wet diaper within 6 hours. And so she gave him Zofran. She had us do a Tylenol suppository because she thought like he just seemed like he just did not
was just in pain.
Feel well and thought maybe that would help him to be able to want to eat and drink because he just mostly drank, but he just was not wanting to drink anything. And so she had us then try to give him 15 mLs every 15 minutes and do that for 4 hours. And it was hard. Like he did not want, we tried every single cup we had. We tried every single type of beverage that we could mm-hmm. offer him. We tried popsicles. We tried using a syringe. Like he just did not want to eat or drink. And really the only thing that he wanted to drink a little bit was chocolate milk. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, at that point, okay, you're going to have chocolate milk. And so finally it was right at the 4 hour mark. Then he had a wet diaper. So we were just really encouraged. Okay. We're good. Like we're going to get on this good trajectory. But then the rest of the day, he still was not, he just wasn't acting himself. Like I feel like usually if you have a 24 hour bug, you kind of, you know, you're a little weak and everything, but then you see slow progress of getting better. And he just was not. He was just so lethargic, not smiling, not wanting to get up and play, which like he's a very busy little boy. And he was just laying there mm-hmm. and he just wanted to be held. And it was just so strange for that to be all day Wednesday, all day Thursday, all day Friday. Like we're just not smiling, not getting up, not interacting. Like we were trying to get him to laugh and stuff, but it wasn't like he was laying there just limp.
Yes, it wouldn't, because you have to compare what he's usually like to what he was, and he was just night and day. I mean, I don't think that he was overly lethargic. He just wasn't his happy-go-lucky self.
Yeah, and so we just felt like something's not right, and he's not getting better. And we talked about taking him into the ER on Friday night. Mm-hmm. And I decided to stay home from camp that night because I just felt like he's just not doing well. But we just, honestly, you and I were both so tired. And the thought of like taking him in when we're both so tired and you might end up being there for hours and hours and hours, we just thought if we can sleep and if he can sleep, that's probably going to be better for him. Then, you know, we've already had the doctor have eyes on him today. And so we ended up, got him to go to sleep. And then we went to bed. And then 12:15 a.m., Kirsten woke us up throwing up. And I just at that point was like, I don't think I have this in me. Like, I did not have it in me to be up all night with another child throwing up all over me when he's still not doing well at all. And so we ended up giving her half the Zofran pill that the doctor had given us at the office mm-hmm. because we were just like, we just can't do this. And then the craziest thing was she had told me before she went to bed 3 times, my tummy hurts, my tummy hurts, my tummy hurts. And then she went to bed and then a few hours later woke up throwing up. So I was sure like we were just going to start another like round two with another child, and she never threw up again. Mm-hmm. She slept it. She went into deep sleep, and the next morning she woke up and was not sick to her stomach and was totally fine and has never had an issue. So I don't know. I feel like God performed a miracle or something, and we were so grateful for the Zofran. But we woke up the next morning and Michael was just not well, and he had not had a wet diaper the entire night, and we just could not get him to drink anything. We tried all the different bottles, all the different cups, all the different beverages, and just wouldn't. And so we decided that we needed to take him in. And you called the pediatrician's office again, and they said you need to take him in. Mm-hmm. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart, and I feel like I need to preface what I'm going to say with this. I'm a huge advocate of breastfeeding. Anyone who knows me well knows that nursing is something I believe in, and all 5 of our biological children were breastfed until they were 19 to 23 months old. However, we also have fostered and adopted, and I've been so grateful for formula companies in those situations. I'm also grateful for formula companies because our last 2 biological children, I really struggled with my supply and did all the things, spent so much time and effort, and just was never able to produce enough for them to be able to gain weight and not be hungry. And so I was so grateful for companies like ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. Their mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. They're made with certified clean ingredients. It has no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code CRYSTAL for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. So go to byheart.com/podcast and use CRYSTAL to get your welcome offer. If you have a big event coming up that you need to get a nice outfit for, and you are dreading having to do the shopping for it, and also you're like, I don't want to spend a whole bunch of money, well, I've got a solution for you. Armoire is a clothing rental service, and they have such great clothes to choose from. Here's the thing. You go on their website, and you get to take a survey that is going to really help you define your style, and you can also tell them if you're looking for something specific. So if you're looking for dresses, a type of dress, formal dresses, office wear, whatever it is, maybe you're looking for casual clothes, I don't know, but you can tell them what you're looking for, and then they are going to curate this closet for you of items to choose from. And then you choose which ones you want to rent and they ship them right to your door. So you don't even have to go in store and try things on. I was so impressed with what they sent me. They nailed my style and also they nailed my size, which I find very difficult to do. I can go to the mall and try on item after item after item after item, and rarely do I find things that fit me really well. But almost everything they sent fit me perfectly. In fact, I had to send back my bag of the clothes that I had rented, and I was really sad to part with it because some of the things in it I had worn so many times that I really didn't want to give them up because I love them so much. In fact, I was like, should I just go ahead and purchase this? Which is an option that they offer as well. But if you'd like to try out this clothing rental service, right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/crystal. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/crystal to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
So we took him in and honestly, we just thought we'll give him some IVs and, you know, probably one bag of IV fluids and he'll be like back to himself. And I was the one that took him in because you stayed home because we were concerned that Kirsten was going to start getting sick. And so I took him in and honestly, you know, they said, yeah, he seems like he's a little dehydrated. I'm sure that once we give him a bag of fluids, he'll perk right up and probably, you know, you'll be able to be out of here within a few hours. And so I was like, great, that's what we thought. Well, then he just lost his mind. Like I don't know what happened, but when we got in the little room and we were waiting for them to bring the IV in, he just went ballistic. Like he literally was just screaming at the top of his lungs. He's never like this. I tried every trick in my bag. And I've got a lot of tricks in my bag because I've spent a lot of time at doctor's offices and a lot of time at the hospital, a lot of time with little kids, and nothing was working. And so they came in to try to give him the IV and could not get it in. His little veins were so tiny and he was dehydrated and he was just so stressed out about the whole thing and so upset. And so they got it in, but then his vein blew. And so they waited a little while. They came back in, they tried again, got it in, his vein blew. And they said he's double jointed. And so he can kind of twist his arm weird ways. And he also was so squirmy and he was just so upset that they would get it in. And then he'd twist his arm even with multiple people holding him down. So they asked if they could give him a sedative. They said that might really help and kind of open up his veins. And so we decided to say yes to that. So they gave him that. It did calm him down some. But then as soon as they came back in to try to stick him the third time, he lost his mind again and his vein blew. So by this time, we've been there for at least 2 hours. And they said, we really need to get some IV fluids in him. Like, we can really tell, like, he's starting to seem like he's very dehydrated and he's not having a wet diaper. He hasn't had a wet diaper for hours. And so we really need to, like, we need to get this in him. So they decided to try a different approach, and they were going to try to do the IV in his foot. And they brought multiple people in. They checked and they felt like they had a good vein that was going to work in his foot. And same thing happened, his vein blew. And they were just kind of really not even sure what to do. I wasn't sure what to do. And just started really praying, like asking God, like, please help them to be able to get this IV in him. So they decided to give him another sedative and to wait a little bit longer to try to let that calm him down. And so we kind of got him more to a calm down state. And then they came back in with a different team and a different approach and just tried again. And literally the nurse was like, let's all pray. We're just going to pray that this works. And so they got it in and it worked. And I was so grateful because 5 times and 2 sedatives, that was a lot. And so I think at this point, we'd been there for 4 hours, finally got the IV in. And when they did I think it was a third IV, they were able to draw blood before his vein blew. And so they were able to do the labs on that and found that they were not happy with how the labs looked. The doctor said, they're not horrible, but they're not good. And so we need to do more than one bag of fluid and we need to keep him here for longer just because this is not looking good. So they gave him the one bag of fluids and then the second bag of fluids. And they really thought that he would start perking up after the first bag of fluids and he just didn't. And then the second bag of fluids and he just didn't. He was just still not seeming like he was doing very well. And so then that was, I think we'd been there for 8 hours. And so at that point they said, we just felt like it would be the right thing to admit him overnight and have him go ahead and keep having IV fluids overnight. And so that's what we did. Gratefully, he was able to fall asleep. And I think he was starting to feel a little bit better because he just calmed down more. And Jesse came at that point, and that was a blessing because I feel like Jesse just kind of had a calming presence for him as well. And so he was still so kind of unsettled. He was very upset about having the IV in and then just not feeling well at all and just being in this weird place. So they wanted to put him in a crib, but he did not want to be in a crib by himself. He wanted me right next to him. And so we ended up that we just had him in a normal hospital bed. And I just sat next to him the whole entire time to make sure that he didn't pull his IV out. And that's how he slept all night long. And actually the craziest thing is I usually do not sleep well in the hospital, but I just feel like so many people were praying for him and praying for me. And I slept for 5.5 hours. It was obviously broken up, but that's a crazy amount of sleep to get in a hospital when you're sleeping next to your child who at any point in time could pull their IV out and is also pretty restless. But so I was so grateful for that because it had been quite a, you know, stretching few days. And then Sunday morning early, they drew blood, gratefully, because he had the IV in, they were able to draw blood straight out of the IV and did lab work again. And his potassium was really low and they were concerned about that. So they started an IV drip of potassium. And then we just kind of waited and he had the IV in all day to just kind of wait and see. He had had a little bit more diarrhea. They really didn't want to release him until he had gone for quite a number of hours without having diarrhea and also was just acting more himself and that his lab work came back better. So as the day wore on Sunday, he started to just want to eat a little bit, which is really fantastic. He kept asking to drink, which was amazing. And he started having wet diapers, which we were so grateful for. And just, you could just see little hints of his personality coming back. And so I was so grateful that I was able to leave right before the wedding and get to go to the wedding. I basically, once the wedding was over, I literally left immediately, which was so hard because I wanted to see all these people that I love so much and get to, you know, celebrate with my friend. But at the same time, I was just concerned that I still had some, you know, I'd been thrown up on a whole week and also had this very sick child laying all over me. And even though I'd gone home and showered and changed my clothes, I still was like, I just feel like I'm a walking germ fest or something. So I just didn't want to spread anything. So I left right away. So I only got pictures from a far away of the bride and groom. But my friend Kate was so sweet. She actually was texting me the morning of her wedding being like, "Crystal, your son is in the hospital. I completely understand if you cannot be here. We'll FaceTime you in." And I'm like, I want to do everything in my power to be there, you know? And so I was just grateful that he didn't take a turn for the worse so that I was able to go. And actually, right after I left, Jesse was with him at the hospital and Jesse sent me a picture. He had fallen in deep sleep, which was the first time he'd fallen in a deep sleep. So that was a blessing because I was able to kind of take a deep breath and be fully present at the wedding. But his lab work, then they did labs around 6 p.m. and they came back looking a little bit better. And so they felt like based on how he was acting, the fact that he was having wet diapers, the fact that he wasn't having diarrhea or throwing up anymore, that he was asking for food and drink, and his labs were moving in the right direction that we could, that he could come home, which was such a gift. And so we were really grateful. So he came home pretty late on Sunday night. And Monday, he still was not himself at all, but he was acting a little bit more himself. And it really took, I feel like, until Thursday of this week before he was fully acting his cheerful, bubbly, smiley self again. And we're just grateful. And by the grace of God, no one else got sick. David had a little diarrhea one day. Kirsten threw up that one time. I drank a lot of grape juice and took a lot of activated charcoal. If you know, those are supposed to help if you have a stomach bug. And a lot of people ask, you know, what was it that he had? And all indications, they didn't end up testing him for any specific virus, but all indications were that it was just a really bad stomach bug or stomach flu. And that he just, because he became dehydrated after throwing up so much, then it was like he was never able to recover on his own. And so then that kind of made him then be really susceptible to throwing up. And we just couldn't get ahead of it. And so lessons learned from this. We learned a lot about dehydration. We did a lot of research, talked to a lot of people, and David has had in the past where he's had to go in and get IV fluids, but with any of our other children, we've never had that before. And so just learning about what are the signs to look for, and really they don't have a wet diaper. That's the biggest sign, like kind of the first sign that you will notice. And then also really dry mouth, really dry lips, lethargic, a really fast heart rate, are some of the other signs. And, you know, the biggest thing from this, the lesson learned, was just to trust our gut. You know, we have this God-given intuition as parents, and I think to really lean into that and to trust that God is leading. And so when I knew, like, something's not right, we need to get the Zofran, and then knowing we need to take him into the pediatrician, and then we need to take him into the ER, just kind of leaning into that and trusting, you know, God giving wisdom whenever you just feel like something's not right and we're trying to do everything we can do, it's not working, and we need outside help. And I think we took him into the ER at just the right time because he was starting to really hit that level of really needing the IV. And I think we got there kind of right before he hit that. And so I'm just so grateful that we did, and we took him when we did, because I just think that he kind of, it went downhill really quickly. And I was so grateful to be at the hospital when he was not doing well, because I just think like we were able to kind of nip it in the bud before it got really bad. Because I've heard from a lot of people who it got to a much worse level before they started the IVs, and then they ended up having to be in the hospital for multiple days or even a week to kind of recover and get their child back to the state that they had been. So anyway, it was a very unexpected weekend, but we saw God's faithfulness through it all. And one of the things that I prayed as I was headed to the ER was just, God, this is not where I expected to be this weekend. I expected to be at camp pouring into my youth group girls, but help me to be a blessing to every single person who walks into Micah's room when we're at the ER. Help me to just show gratitude and kindness and bless them, because, you know, the medical community, medical staff, they work really, really, really hard. And I think it's a thankless job a lot. And so my heart is always to just brighten their day a little bit by showing kindness. And it was interesting because when they were having so much trouble getting the IV in, they kept apologizing to me and saying, I'm so sorry. And I was just like, no, I'm so sorry. Like, my child is really being difficult and there's nothing that I can figure out to do to help you out. And I just noticed it just felt like that they're not used to maybe a parent being so kind and calm. And I'm not propping myself up at all, but we've dealt with a lot with David and he's really struggled to get IVs in the past. And that's been just because with Down syndrome, a lot of times it's just a real challenge to get an IV or a blood draw. And so we've dealt with that before. And so I know that they're doing the very best that they can. And I could tell that they were very proficient and did this a lot and very experienced. And they were just stumped because he was just a challenging child. And he got the reputation of, they called him Mike Tyson because
he's a fighter.
He was a fighter. And, you know, the doctor said, I would rather a child be fighting this than just be limp and just letting it happen. She said, I'm always much more concerned when they're limp and letting it happen and not fighting than he is fighting, and he's feisty. And that's actually a good thing. And I think one of the other things that I learned from the weekend was to let go of my expectations. And, you know, I really wanted to be at camp and I really wanted to be there for my girls' last camp, No Boys Allowed, and to really get to kind of finish off this journey that I've been on with them over the past many years, but to just have my hands open to, okay, I can trust that they're great. My co-leaders are fantastic. And this gives them an opportunity to really step in and lead well and pour into them. And they're going to be okay. Like, they don't need me there, and this is where I'm needed. And so to just open up my hands to that and just be fully where my feet were planted and where God had me, instead of being frustrated that I couldn't be where I was, or feeling like I am dropping the ball or something like that, but to just give myself permission to be like, I'm going to trust God that at camp, they're getting what they need and this is where I'm supposed to be. And it was just a really good thing for my heart, because I tend to be the kind of person who wants to be the one always pouring in. And it was good for me to just step back and be kind of the one that was needy, in a sense of that I couldn't show up for them like I wanted to. And God was calling me to show up for other people in a different way. And I just felt like it was really good for my heart. And they ended up having a great camp. It was wonderful. And they told me lots of funny stories that happened. And I was able to genuinely just be excited for them and excited for my friend Kate, even though I didn't get to show up to the wedding like I would have loved to just trust God for all of that and to be where God had me.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.